So, hello, everyone.
Hi.
Today, we're going to be talking on this podcast about how to lie with statistics. And we have Sarah, Raven, Ellen, and myself, who is Brent. So, I guess we'll first start with the introduction.
Yeah, we're going to be talking from the introduction through chapter 3.
Yep.
So, we all kind of thought that the introduction was, like, really weird and it didn't have much to do with the actual book once we started reading the chapters. I guess it just kind of, like, started talking about how to think through a statistical mindset. And, like, I really like this quote that says, "The secret language of statistics, so appealing in a fact-minded culture, is employed to sensationalize, inflate, confuse, and oversimplify." So, like, it's kind of like, what's the word? Like, they're, I don't know, insulting statisticians, but in a way they're saying, like, even though this is a bad thing, this is how you do it to make it right. I don't know. So that was an introduction.
Chapter 1 was called The Sample with the Built-in Bias. So basically, it was a survey that was done with the Yale, with the average Yale men of class of 24. So I'm guessing, what, 1924, maybe?
Yeah.
So, it was kind of confusing, though, because they said that people were making about $25,000 a year, but at first, like, that's not a lot, though.
Well, back
then,
it was
a big deal.
Yeah,
1924. Yeah, okay.
And it also made, like, Yale, like, look really good. Because people coming out of that school would making $25,000 in the 20s. That's, like, really good. But I just, I liked how he, like, broke it down into ways that, like, you can tell that it's a lie.
Yeah, but he was also talking about how they were focusing on the more famous or more well-off people.
Yeah. Right. How they left behind the...
They didn't talk about the down, I guess, poor ones.
They talked about the people who were... like homeless and on drugs and things like
basically
like
the
that.
Ones who didn't want to own up to how much money they made.
Right,
because they were either embarrassed or they just didn't want to say it because
this
you know,
they just didn't reply.
Right.
I think one of the examples that really helped like tie in this situation like with probability and stuff like that is when he talked about the barrel of beans, and he was like, you can, you know, some are red, some are white. There's only one way to find out exactly how many of each color you have. Count them.
Right.
Oh, and then another thing in chapter one that was kind of interesting is how he was talking about how there's always some sort of bias. And he said, always, there's always a possibility of bias somewhere. There always is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in every situation, no matter what it is, there's always going to be a bias. And then he explains how we can, like, look for it, which I thought was interesting.
There was also, let me see if I can find it. It was an example of this survey they did with magazines.
Yeah.
They said, like, there were respondents who were asked which magazine that they read the most, which was, it was Harper's, it was called Harper's or True Story. Yeah, Harper's or True Story. And most respondents that came back and said that they read the True Love Story, but the publisher's figures came back that True Love Story had a much higher circulation than Harper's.
I thought chapter one did a really, like, he did a really nice job talking about samples and, like, how you can really tell if there's a random sample.
Oh, yeah.
And then he did the example about the psychiatrist who said, like, who reported that practically everyone's neurotic, but he was a psychiatrist, so all the people that he interviewed were, like, needed help because they were going to him. So it was just, like, how can a sample really be random or not? And, like, what type of people to use and stuff.
Also, going off of what Raven was talking about with the magazines, he was stating that these magazines were not what they could have read, but just what they had in their house or household. Because I know I had, like, many magazines in my household, and I never touch them, and I don't look at them, but it's just what happens to be around.
Yeah.
So I feel like that happens with a lot of people.
So the author basically is just saying that, you know, with any statistic that is given, make sure that the person who is doing the survey or anything like that is questioning the sample that's being taken, and that there's always going to be some type of bias, you know, in the sample or whatever it is that's being given to them. So
He says this quote about bias. So you go into the streets and bias your sample against stay-at-homes. You go from door to door by day and miss employed people. You switch to evening interviews and neglect moviegoers and nightclubbers.
Yeah.
So you're always going to have some type of bias, even if you're trying to be the most fair.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he did a good example of explaining that, because he did the time, and then he did, on page 24, he talks about race, how that also is bias.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he said, like, there's always going to be bias.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to move on?
Well, I do have one point. Okay. Do you guys remember reading about the toothbrush? I was confused on that. I didn't, like, really understand what he was, like, trying to refer to so much. Like, he was talking about brushing, someone brushing their teeth 1.02 times a day. And, of course, that's a statistic, so it's not like someone actually brushes their teeth.
Where does that point to?
It's, on page 17 and 18. And then on the next page, he goes into, they don't tell the frequency of which bristle is applied to the incisor. And it was just, I didn't really see the purpose of that so much.
With that
in this
example.
Yeah, because he was going from the magazines to just
toothbrush. And then also what Helen was talking about the race.
Oh, how he went from blacks to Nazis?
Yeah, like on page 24, in the second paragraph, it says one question was, would blacks be treated better or worse here if the Japanese conquered the USA? And then it says black interviewers reported that 9% of those they asked said better. And then it said white interviewers found only 2% of such responses. And while black interviewers found only 25% who thought blacks would be treated worse, white interviewers turned up 45%. And then it talks about the Nazis and how they were substituted for the Japanese. And I was, it was confusing because it was going from one thing
to another.
And then to race. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. This is
yeah.
I feel like that's what this book is going to. I mean, we've only read like a small chunk of it.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's what this book is about. Just giving us like example after example try to make us at least understand one of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Brent didn't understand the toothbrush one, and I didn't understand, really, the race one.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, we can relate to other ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, we all pretty much understood the Yale one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
the beans
magazines.
And the barrel
right.
magazines.
I think he has good intentions. He's just, like, giving us a lot of information.
So
all over
the
place.
Yeah. So then somebody from, like, every type of...
will understand at least one,
Well, I guess we can move on to
chapter two, the well-chosen average.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that was basically talking about mean, median, and moon.
Yeah, it first started off with the housing stuff, I believe, like the neighborhood, like how much they need in the neighborhood.
Yep.
I forget the actual number. I think it was like
$15,000 a year versus $3,500.
Yeah,
okay. But yeah, at first when I started reading it, I was actually a little confused because I wasn't thinking in the mindset of like the statistical person.
I thought I was picking up a book.
Basically.
Yeah.
So when he said that you could make $15,000, that's like low, but I guess in that time it's like
it was high.
Yeah. But then dropping down to $3,500, I'm just like,
I just didn't
understand. But going more so into the chapter, it made sense, and it was like. It was a good way, I guess, to trick people in a way. It's like, it kind of teaches you how to be, I guess, a criminal in a way to me.
Yeah.
Like, it teaches you how to, I don't know, get over on someone.
Yeah, how to persuade them if they don't know what it means.
If they don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So there's the diagram on page 33 where it has the pictures of the people and the salaries.
Yeah.
And then they show, like, here's the average, which
mm-hmm.
is the guy in the middle.
Yeah.
And then there's the median. which is, like, you know, the same amount of people on top of him and the bottom of him, and then the mode, which is, like, all of the 2,000 people.
The majority.
Yeah, that definitely helped me understand this whole chapter.
I feel like the pictures in this book are really, like,
there to help guide you.
It kind of correlates with what we've been learning in class, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, about how the mean is kind of just taking the average. But the author explains in the book that, talk about arithmetic mean. That's how you say it, right?
Yeah,
arithmetic mean. But he says that he's talking about the average and how they're like two different things, kind of. The arithmetic average or the mean is the sum of the quantities. I'm sorry. So, like in page 33, when you were talking about the average, that's just everybody put together divided by how many people. It was, and then the median is kind of the middle person.
Yeah.
And then, like we said earlier, the mode is kind of how many times, well, who had the most.
When learning this, though, not even in statistics, but like in
middle school,
elementary school, being taught this, it was completely different. Like, I was always taught that the mean was the average.
Yeah,
like,
that's what
the median and mode were just like accessories in a way, and it just gave you more information. So, learning that these you can use these as an actual average is interesting.
And I also liked how you can use them to change it in your benefit.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, like, on pages 32 and 34, it says, like, average wage of employees was 2,000, and then average salary of profit owners was 26. And then he, like, changed the average, the median, and the mode in a way that it didn't look like the profit owners had that much, because then it was only 5,000. I just thought that was, like, really interesting, how you can have the same answers, but portray it in a
different
way.
They had an example on page 36 about the Time magazine, and they were really focusing on the median, saying that if you look on the second paragraph, it says their median age was 34, and their average family income was $7,270 a year. And then they said the earlier surveys of the old Time magazine had found that their median age was 41 years old, but their income was $9,535. And then the author says the question is why, when the median is given for ages both times, the kind of average for incomes is carefully unspecified. So basically, I think that the author is kind of just breaking it down for us in a more advanced way of how to calculate the mean, the median, and the mode, and not just thinking of it as, you know, the average of everyone, and then just, you know, I think it's kind of cool, but it's also kind of confusing at the same time.
So if you go to page 39, which I think is like the first thing that you really get to see in chapter 3, is when they talk about pennies and how he flips it, and 80% of the time heads show up. So he's saying that you can use that to say science proves that tossed pennies come up heads 80% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is, we can definitely see in, like, marketing ads, especially now towards voting time, how we can see, like, how they twist percentages and statistics all around.
And I think they do that everywhere. I'm sorry for cutting you off. But,
even just in regular ads.
Yeah, just even with, when you look at colleges, like when we're applying to college, and we look at their statistics and saying, oh, we have this certain amount of this race, or we have this certain amount of sports that we offer. And then when I guess you actually like attend, or even just like look at the school more so, it gives you, you show that that's not always necessarily true. So I feel like a lot of campaigns and things like that do that to boost their publicity and make them more popular and whatnot.
Because they can give you the statistic, but they don't have to tell you, like, how many times they did it. Like, with the penny one, they only did it 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, goes really well with what we're learning about now, because it's all about what if things are fair or not with coins and stuff. So, I don't know, I just thought that was interesting.
Did you guys understand the toothpaste thing? At all, it was...
Not
really.
Anything they got to do with brushing teeth.
I know, I was just so confused with all of it. It was just, like, he was talking about the dope toothpaste, and then it was some type
what
of...
What page is that on?
It's on the
on
first, 37 and 38. And then it was talking about some tooth powder, and it was just really, like, confusing. Like, I wasn't sure what they were trying to normally really get at, and then they just switched over to pennies, and I'm just like, okay, this is easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I don't know, more complicated and something, it was weird to open up with, I feel.
Yeah.
Another thing that I thought was weird is how they went to, they stopped at pennies and went right into how, a couple years ago from this book,
mm-hmm.
How they used children as test subjects,
yeah.
and gave some of them vaccines,
yeah.
and they gave some of them not,
just,
to see which ones would get
polio.
I was like, really? You're gonna, okay.
Yeah. That was really
Yeah, cool. I think with the toothpaste thing, Brent, they was just saying how it's just fewer cavities if you use the dope toothpaste. It was just down by 23%.
Okay.
So. I think sometimes what he does is he's like, I'm gonna give you this example, but then explain it with another example.
Yep. Yeah.
So he gave you the toothpaste one, but then explained it with the pennies, and then went back to the toothpaste, and then went to the polio.
Yep.
So I don't.
If you look at the pennies, he talks about. One of three things is bound to happen, distinctly more cavities, distinctly fewer, or about the same number.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go to page 40, you can see they did a diagram for the pennies, but it relates to the toothpaste, where
yeah.
it's four possibilities, and then one's like heads, tails, in the middle, or like a bird picks it up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always going to be like that little like strange outcome,
yeah.
I think, is what for both of those situations they're saying.
And then I highlighted, because it like relates to us in class right now, it says, only when there's a substantial number of trials involved, the law of averages a useful description or prediction. So it's saying, you need a bunch of trials for
mm-hmm.
it to be, like a good prediction. But when you're advertising, you don't have to tell that person. So.
This baby on page 44 really threw me off with him smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It was kind of like the sidebar thing, though, but... I didn't really understand that.
Yeah, I was also kind of confused. This whole chapter actually kind of confused me.
It
confused me, but I picked up some things.
Yeah, I did pick up some things, but it was something I had to reread over
mm-hmm.
and over. It wasn't
yeah.
something I could just
read once
yeah,
understand.
And then just understand.
Mm-hmm. When was this book written?
They said they were bringing up information from
so long ago.
Yeah, I feel like it's really old. I don't know why.
Well, it says, Norton Paperback reissue 1993.
That was a reissue, though.
Oh, duh. Okay.
Copyright 1952.
52.
Okay.
54.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
can tell in his language and some
yeah.
of the stuff that he says.
And I mean, they bring that up in the book, too. Not about, this book, but they bring it up about how using statistics, they tend to, instead of starting, a new... project, how they take stats from back in time. So that's basically what this book is using stats from back in time, how they talked about.
Okay.
I wonder how much of it would change if there was another book like this.
Yeah,
I feel like if it was
more modern, I feel like things might be different than what they are. I feel like this book gives a lot of decent information and it's a lot to stem off of, but... This is, how many years ago now?
I also think it would be more relatable.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
What else? Yeah, and then they use the example of, finding out your baby's height. But instead of, taking the average heights from all the kids that are the same age as them,
mm-hmm.
you could just, it would make more sense to go back to your grandparents, which I thought was interesting, how, statistics basically go by people that are your same age, but it's not, that's not who you are, so you're probably not going to end up
yeah.
with the same results as them.
Yeah, so it's kind of, focused on genetics in a way, if we're talking about going
yeah,
back towards
one,
your
yeah.
grandparents.
About going back in the past and seeing
yeah.
what they were like
mm-hmm.
instead of what people in the present are like.
Because I know they do that with hair. I know, if you... You just look at your grandfather's hair, and you can tell, how you'll go bald or whatever
yeah.
will happen.
Yeah.
So.
And the texture of your hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and we bring this up in class all the time. If we go back a couple pages on 43, they're talking about how, how a family of 3.6 persons.
Yeah.
In how we do that all the time in class. We're like, can we just round this?
Yeah.
That makes more
sense
to us.
Yeah.
Having it to be some type of decimal.
Yep.
You can't just cut something
right.
in half.
Yeah.
Where do they get that point six?
That's when they find the average is
the
like
the real average.
Yeah.
Instead of like,
but I understand
what
you're
saying.
Like,
exactly.
Say there was like four of us, but then how do you get like a point if there's four whole people?
Right.
Is that what
you
mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think
it's
like,
say if there were like 15 people and they all lived in four houses, how many people live in each house? If you split that up equally, you're going to get a decimal.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's basically
yeah.
what it is.
Because everything in statistics will not be even and balance out correctly to where you can just.
Right, because it's.
Yes.
Statistics.
Yeah. So you have to be specific, even though we know in actuality you can't just cut somebody or
mm-hmm.
do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So everything just won't be accurate. You know, I kind of like to relate it to, you know, it's kind of corny, but like, do you guys watch Family Feud?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No? Okay.
I
do. Do you watch Family
Yes.
Feud? Okay. So Steve Harvey, I like to watch it when Steve Harvey is the host. He makes it better. But sometimes if you hear him say, we surveyed 100 people and the question was whatever,
mm-hmm.
like, whatever the question was. So I kind of, and it makes me mad sometimes because the people who are, like the two families, they like to pick their answer and not really think that, oh.
The most popular
it's,
answer.
Right, the most popular mm-hmm. answer out of 100 people.
They relate it
so,
back to themselves.
Yeah,
so.
But it's also with those 100 people, like when you think about this book, you got to think about who they decided to
yep.
Survey. Because
exactly.
They could have just went downtown and surveyed somebody. And
or they can go in the suburban area
yeah.
or urban
yep.
area.
So
they
can
have,
just,
like, different races ask the questions.
Right,
or,
exactly.
And then
so,
the family on the show could be a whole totally different
yep.
race and then not have that
not
type
have
of
the same mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like.
But I think sometimes they kind of lose the thought that, you know, they have to kind of think kind of generally.
Yeah.
You know,
and not just as
themselves.
Right.
So
yeah, and there's always going to be errors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's all we have for today.
Yep.
I think we covered mostly everything.
I think so. Okay, guys. Thanks, Mr. Miles, for listening.